From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed. There are several instructive features in our Savior's prayer in his hour of trial. It was lonely prayer. He withdrew even from his three favored disciples. Believer, be much in solitary prayer, especially in times of trial. Family prayer, social prayer, prayer in the church will not suffice. These are very precious, but the best beaten spice will smoke in your censer in your private devotions, where no ear hears but God's. It was humble prayer. Luke says he knelt, but another evangelist says he fell on his face. Where then must be thy place, thou humble servant of the great Master? What dust and ashes should cover thy head? Humility gives us a good foothold in prayer. There is no hope of prevalence with God unless we abase ourselves that He may exalt us in due time. It was filial prayer. Abba, Father. You will find it a stronghold in the day of trial to plead your adoption. You have no rights as a subject. You have forfeited them by your treason. But nothing can forfeit a child's right to a father's protection. Be not afraid to say, My Father, hear my cry. Observe that it was persevering prayer. He prayed three times. Cease not until you prevail. Be as the importunate widow whose continual coming earned what her first supplication could not win. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Lastly, it was the prayer of resignation. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Yield, and God yields. Let it be as God wills, and God will determine for the best. Be thou content to leave thy prayer in His hands, who knows when to give, and how to give, and what to give, and what to withhold. So pleading, earnestly, importunately, yet with humility and resignation, thou shalt surely prevail.
And felt their
In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a publication entitled, "The Case for United Prayer." Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lamphere. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer, free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of a message called Saints and Sinners Infallibly Identified and Eternally Separated. The text is Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, where Paul draws the distinction between those who are after the flesh and those who are after the Spirit. After the flesh is a reference to the natural, unregenerate man whose mindset is controlled by the fallen nature he inherited from Adam. By contrast, the man who is after the Spirit is controlled by the Holy Spirit. His main interest is in spiritual things. He seeks to live for Christ, and every area of his life is guided by the gospel. The sinner lives in bondage to his sin, whereas the saved person lives in the life, liberty, and assurance received from the Holy Spirit. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message, Saints and Sinners Infallibly Identified and Eternally Separated.
Salvation is a deep inward miracle of the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 4:6 likens it to the creation. We read in Genesis chapter 1 that the earth was without form and void. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And Paul takes that statement and he says, "God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It's a new creation. Now, only God can create. Only God can create. Never forget that. And only God can save. That inward miracle, a new creation, the act of the Holy Spirit of God in bringing to life a soul that was dead, making that soul a new creature in Christ. Now, the difference between this modern religion of mere decisionism, and it's everywhere, you know. It's everywhere. One famous preacher who's now gone on to his reward, so I'll let him remain anonymous, used to send his people out, tell them how to go soul winning. Tell them how to get into conversation and how to rifle quick questions at people so that the answer to every question would be yes, 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 yes. And then, in his words, slip one under the belt and ask them, "Would you like to be saved?" And before they know it, they've said, yes, they pray and they're saved. They're not saved. Know nothing about it. Salvation's not a psychological gimmick. Salvation's not some playing around with people's brains. Salvation is a work of God. What a difference between this religion of decisionism and the religion of divine deliverance. You know, what a man decides to do, he can decide not to do. What a man decides to do, he can decide to change. And unfortunately, that's the problem. All around America, we have people and they're deciding, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to believe that, I'm going to be the other thing." And then they decide to change. When the Holy Ghost regenerates a man and unites that man to Jesus Christ, that man never can and never will turn away from the salvation of God in his Son. Oh, he may fall. He may even rebel foolishly. But as he does so, from the very depths of his being, there will be a knowledge springing up within him that he's contradicting the very thing that he is. Paul said, "It's no longer I, but sin that dwelleth in me." John Gill, the great Baptist theologian and preacher, who was one of Spurgeon's forerunners in the Park Street pulpit in London, said, "You are not in the flesh. Flesh is still in you while you're in the body." The world of difference, you know. The great Baptist preacher there was right on the money. Christians Christians are not in the flesh. They're not governed by the flesh. But the flesh and the appetites of the flesh and the opposition of the flesh is still present with them. Yes, sadly, they feel. But even as they feel, there is that within them that can never let them give up Christ. That's why Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, speaks of people who give up Christ to go back to animal sacrifices and says, there's no hope for you. That's apostasy. You were never saved. You were never saved. Anyone who's saved will never cease to be a believer in Christ. And anybody who can cease to be a believer never was one, even to start with. Final thing I'll say is this, that in reversing the curse, teaching of this text is the Holy Ghost gives life and liberty and assurance. That's the difference, the absolute opposite to the death and the doom of sinners. Life and liberty and assurance. That's what the Holy Ghost gives. You've heard me say, if I'm a wee bit late leaving the morning service, I like to tune in to J. Vernon McGee. Now, some people have wondered about somebody reformed and all the rest of it like me listening to J. Vernon McGee, an out-and-out dispensationalist. Well, you see, it's what I tell you. Anybody preaches Christ, your heart lifts to them. And I have to say that Dr. McGee was a great preacher. Don't agree with all he said, mind you. But more often than not, I get greatly blessed. I was listening today on the way home, and he was talking about liberty. He told the story of a 4th of July when he was just a young preacher in Texas. Some little Texas town, where it was, I have no idea. But the town council had an idea. Shows you the difference in America then and now. That it would be a great thing to finish the festivities of the 4th of July by having a young lawyer and a young preacher get together to speak from the courthouse steps on liberty. So there they were, standing behind a pillar, waiting their turn. He was the preacher, some young political hack was the lawyer. And he says the young lawyer took out his whiskey, took a swig of it. He said, "Preacher, I need this. I couldn't get up to face the crowd without it." And so he got out there and he spoke about the land of the free and the home of the brave and American liberties. McGee got up and he gave his message. Came back, standing again behind the pillar. The lawyer pulls out his whiskey. He goes to take another swig. Dr. McGee said to him, "Why are you drinking at this time?" He says, "Oh, preacher, I need this. Can't do without it." What about all that liberty you were talking about out there? Is there no, do you not have liberty? Stay away from it. "No, preacher, I don't. I don't." It's the mark of the sinner, not just addicted to booze. The mark of the sinner is no liberty. He's bound hand and foot, controlled, minded by the flesh. But when God the Holy Spirit comes in, He is the minder. And He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. He gives him life and liberty and the joyous assurance of eternal glory with Christ. Now tonight, we come to the end of this meeting. Let me make it clear to you. We all bear the mark of what we are in the flesh or in the spirit. And that is obvious by what we mind. Now, what really controls you? I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip to say, oh, I have failed here, I have failed there. That's not the purpose. There's no man that sinneth not. But what really controls you? What's the core of your being? What's the very heart of your whole existence? What is it that governs you? If you could be all that you want to be, what would you be? What are you? You after the spirit? You after the flesh? You in Adam? Corrupt and depraved? Are you in Christ? A new creature? Are you saved? Are you lost? Big questions. And especially pressing questions that you should take deep note of. You have simply grown up under the sound of the gospel, knowing its terms. Now, believe me, I believe in child salvation. I was saved at 8 years old. I believe in child salvation. Not questioning that at all. But I also know it is very possible, and I've seen it again and again, for people to grow up knowing the terminology of the gospel and for a while accepting it, then drifting away into sin without Christ. Are you saved? Are you lost? Big question. Make sure you think it through tonight. And don't be deceived. I could tell you people who are living in open sin. It's not mine to say that they've never been saved. They're not saved. That's not mine to say. But I know people living in open sin. I've met people over the years who have been able to spend a lifetime in sin. Flagrant wickedness. And they'll tell you, oh yes, I'm still saved. I'm saved. Don't be deceived. Justified souls are always sanctified. Unsanctified souls have never been justified. That's what Paul is teaching. After the flesh, in the flesh, or after the spirit, which is it? Saved or lost, be not deceived. Make sure tonight that you do not live your life and go out to meet your God. Nothing more. A surface adherence to a religious profession without any heart, knowledge, be encouraged. I have to finish like this because if I know human nature, the people who are most likely to be disturbed when they look at a text like this are the people who are most earnest about going on with God. The devil will come and say, oh, you've done this, you've done that, you've done the other thing, you've failed. You couldn't be after the Spirit. And I'm sure there are people even now, and that's what's going on in your mind. That's not what God is saying here. God is talking about, and remember, Paul goes on to speak to these people about how to overcome their failure. How to live holy. He's going to exhort them to do those things. Now, this is not sinless perfection he's talking about. What he's saying is, no matter what, in a true Christian, There is something at the core of his being that rules. That something is a someone. It's the Spirit of God keeping him true to the gospel. That is the best assurance any man can have. He indeed is born of God. Sinners and saints, infallibly distinguished. Now and eternally separate. Where do you stand? Which side of the divide you on?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.